It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, a classic show, It's Father Knows Best, but first, My Favorite Husband, starring Richard Denning and Lucille Ball. A CBS broadcast, re-released by Armed Forces Radio without commercials from November 25th, 1950.
Starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers, it's morning, and we find Katie, the maid, in the kitchen. Liz Cooper is just coming into the room.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Mrs. Cooper. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Hold it, Katie. This is not my birthday.
It is?
No.
Oh, dear, and I already put a candle in your grapefruit.
Too bad.
I can't understand how I made that mistake. When is your birthday, anyway?
Never.
Huh?
I had my last birthday a year ago today.
Oh, you've reached that point, huh?
It's awful. I never realized it, Katie. Today I'm 33. That's more than halfway to 35. I'm practically 40.
I know. Well, if you aren't going to celebrate, I better not bake you cake.
I should say not. I don't want anything to even remind me that it's my birthday.
All right.
What can I do about George?
What do you mean?
How can I possibly keep him from remembering it's my birthday?
Well, just don't tell him.
Katie, that's mean. Why, my birthday is the most important day in the year to George.
Liz, where are you, honey?
I'm out here in the kitchen, dear. You just watch the fuss he makes.
Oh, there you are. I've been looking all over the house for you.
You have, my little husband. What for?
You know what day this is, don't you?
Why, no. What day is it?
It's Saturday. I told you to call a plumber last Wednesday. The bathroom basin is stopped up again.
Is there anything else?
No. Oh, yes.
What?
I'm late for the bank. I'll just skip breakfast. Goodbye, dear.
Oh, George?
Yes, dear? Katie. Can I hear, Liz, with you making all that racket?
Sorry.
What is it, Liz? I'm in a hurry.
Nothing.
Oh, well, goodbye, dear.
Bye.
Oh, there, Mrs. Cooper.
George didn't give me any presents or flowers. He didn't even remember my birthday.
But, Mrs. Cooper, you said you didn't want him to remember.
I didn't. I wanted him to forget about my birthday. But he forgot about my birthday.
Mrs. Cooper, you've been crying for an hour now. That won't help any.
He doesn't love me anymore.
Mrs. Cooper, a husband forgetting his wife's birthday is absolutely normal.
It is?
It's a male characteristic, like baldness and egotism.
So what?
A smart wife always drops a hint at least 3 shopping days before her birthday.
Well, it's too late for me to do that with George. I know. I'll call up Mr. Atterbury and drop a hint, and then he'll mention it to George.
Good idea.
Now, how can I just hint at it? I know. I'll tell...
Sheridan Falls First National Bank.
Mr. Atterbury, please.
One moment.
Hello?
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to a close relative of your handsome blonde vice president. Happy birthday to me.
Hello? Hello? I think we have a bad connection.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to
me. I heard that.
Good. Well, goodbye.
There, that ought to do it.
Did Did you send for me, Mr. Atterbury?
Yes, George boy. I just had the weirdest phone call.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Well, was it a man or a woman?
I don't know. It sounded something like this.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to a close relative of your handsome blonde vice president. Happy birthday to me.
A close relative of mine? Gee, I wonder who it can be.
Do you have any relatives who come from Mars?
No. And it isn't Liz's birthday.
Are you sure?
Oh, I know Liz. If it was her birthday, she'd never have let me out of the house without telling me.
True.
Yeah, besides, Liz's birthday is June the 3rd. Or is it February the 8th? Or is that our wedding anniversary? Well, I know they're both in the spring sometime. Close relative. How did that voice sound again?
Happy birthday to me.
Of course, Mother.
Mother? Your mother would pull a trick like that?
Yeah, she gets pretty cute sometimes.
Oh, cute, cute.
Well, I'm glad she called. I'll have to run out and buy her something and arrange a little surprise party for her.
Go ahead, boy.
I'll be in Miller's department store if you want me. Pardon me, miss. Will you wait on me?
Yes, sir. And, oh, hello, Mr. Cooper.
What?
I remember you from the other day when you were here with your wife. She was looking at coats and you were looking at prices.
Oh, yes. Well, I'd like to buy a little birthday present and have it sent out to the house.
Certainly. What would you like?
Well, it's hard to decide, but I think a nightgown would be nice.
Yes, sir. I suppose you want something sheer and lacy and invitingly feminine.
Well, no, I think you better make it long flannel.
Yeah. You've been married quite a while, haven't you?
What?
Nothing, nothing. I've got just the thing, Mr. Cooper. I'll send it out this afternoon. Do you want to put a card in?
Yes. Do you have one?
Uh-huh, there on the desk.
Okay. Just send it out this afternoon. Oh, by the way, do you have a bakery in the store?
Bakery? No.
Oh, that's a shame. Here's the card. Well, I'd better get going. I have to find a cake that will hold 65 candles. So long.
Bye. 65 candles. Long flannel nightgown. I only hope I look that good at her age.
Come in.
Hi, Mr. Atterbury.
Liz girl, come in. What brings you to the bank?
Oh, nothing special. I just wanted to know if George got a certain message.
A certain message?
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
Oh, of course, of course. You called and I gave George the message, and he ran right out to buy some presents for your guest!
What's wrong?
Well, I thought that George said that we decided when he was with you would... Wrong? Nothing's wrong.
Well, I guess I wasn't very subtle. What did George say when you told him?
He knew it all the time.
Oh.
He's out buying some presents right now.
Oh, isn't he sweet?
Yes, yes. Well, goodbye.
I'll see you later.
Goodbye.
I'm going. Don't push me.
Sorry. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Whew. Now to alert George, boy. Let's see. Where did he go? Oh, Miller's department store. I hope he's still there. Hello? Miller's department store? It's very important that I locate George Cooper. He's there and I... No. Cooper. C-O-O-P-E... No, T, like an ape.
A-P-E. No, no, A. Like an appetite? A-P-P. No, no, P.
That's right, like in Cooper. George Cooper. See if you can locate him right away. This is a matter of wife or death. I don't care if you get it or not. Find him right away. Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello.
I'm waiting for Mr. Cooper. Who's this?
Oh, Mr. Cooper's good.
Oh.
I waited on him. Can I help you?
No, no, I have... Wait a minute. You waited on him?
Uh-huh.
He bought a gift. What was it?
A long flannel nightgown.
Oh, gag!
You said it, Buster.
What?
Sir.
Have you sent that out yet?
Oh, no, sir. It was just leaving.
Good, good. Change it. Send, Oh, I wonder what Liz would like.
You mean his wife?
Yes, yes.
She was looking at a suede jacket she was just crazy about.
Good, good. Change that nightgown to the suede jacket and send it out to Cooper's right away.
Yes, sir, right away. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Miss Perkins.
Yes, sir?
I'm going out. I have to find George Cooper. He thinks it's his mother's birthday, but it's his wife.
Oh, God!
That girl's been working for me too long.
Thank you.
Who was it, Katie?
A package from Miller's department store. Looks like a gift.
Oh, it's my birthday present. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
But it's addressed to Mr. Cooper.
Of course, he doesn't want me to know.
Well, I'll put it in the hall closet.
Let me see it. Do you think it's addressed?
Well, are you going to open it?
Of course not. I wouldn't do a thing like that. Oh, look, Katie, it's a suede jacket.
Oh, I see.
It's the very one I've been looking at. Oh, that darling, wonderful husband of mine.
Oh, he certainly is thoughtful.
Oh, Katie, do you need anything at the store? I just have to wear this someplace. How about a dozen eggs?
No, we already have 2 dozen in the refrigerator.
Well, I'll get you another dozen. I want to wear this jacket to the store.
All right, I'll start getting dinner ready.
Well, what are we having for dinner?
The biggest omelet in the world.
I'll be back in a little while. Mr. Atterbury's office?
Is he there, Miss Perkins? I want to tell him I won't be back for a while yet. I had trouble finding a cake that will hold 65 candles.
Well, he's not here, Mr. Cooper. He's out looking for you.
Me? What for?
Well, he said something about it not being your mother's birthday. It's your wife.
My wife? Oh, my gosh. They delivered the nightgown I bought from my mother, and if I know Liz, she'll open it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, there's only one thing for me to do. I'll go home and see if I can sneak it out before she sees it. Goodbye.
No one in the kitchen. Let's see now. She always puts packages in the hall closet. Yeah, the hall is clear. Now, if that flannel nightgown is only in... Oops, oh, that must be Liz. I'll have to hide in the closet.
I better put this jacket back in the closet before George gets home. Back you go, little present. Oh, that must be George. I don't want him to catch me with this. I'll hide in the closet.
Mrs. Cooper? Mr. Cooper?
It's only Katie.
Yeah.
What?
What? Here I am.
Oh, George, there's a great big ugly... Oh, it's you.
Yes.
You scared me, too.
Oh, what were you doing in the closet?
Well, I wanted to get the present I sent you and exchange it for a better one.
What? I should say not.
Oh, but honey, you were...
I have a confession to make, George. I opened the present you sent. It's just what I wanted.
It is?
Absolutely. It's the same one I was looking at the other day.
You're not kidding me, Liz.
Of course not. I put it on right away.
You did? This afternoon?
Why not? I was so eager to show it off, I wore it down to the market.
You wore it? Oh, Liz, that isn't quite the thing to wear to the market.
Well, I know I shouldn't have worn it shopping, but I just couldn't resist.
Didn't people stare at you?
They couldn't keep their eyes off me.
I'll bet they couldn't.
Oh, that cute little cashier wouldn't let me alone till I took it off and let her try it on.
You took it off? In the market?
Don't worry, George. She was careful.
That's not what I was worried about. I hope you didn't catch cold.
Cold? No. As a matter of fact, on the way home, I was so warm, I took it off and carried it over my arm.
I must be losing my mind. Didn't you notice that a crowd was following you?
Crowd? Oh, George, it's a nice suede jacket, but it wouldn't cause that much fuss.
Suede jacket? You were wearing a suede jacket?
Of course. Don't you know what you gave me?
Well, sure, a suede nightgown. A jacket. Well, happy birthday, Liz.
Thank you.
George, boy, there you are. I've been looking all over town for you.
Oh, hi, Mr. Atterbury. You're just in time to see the birthday present George gave me.
Good, good. There's nothing smarter looking than a suede jacket.
I'll get it out of... How did you know?
Yeah, how did you know?
I don't know. Just lucky, I guess. Unless George told me.
Me? Why, oh, yes, I told him, sure.
Yeah, he's been talking about it all week.
Really? Oh, George, and I thought you'd forgotten.
Oh, don't be silly.
Oh, honey, you're so wonderful. I don't know why I ever mistrusted you.
Neither do I.
Give me a kiss. I'll get my present out of the closet.
What's going on here? I called up the store and told them to switch presents.
Oh, thanks. Oh, gee, you really saved the day.
She'll never suspect I thought it was Mother's birthday. I wonder who...
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
The surprise party. I invited some of my mother's friends.
I'll get rid of them.
I'll get the door.
Too late, boy.
Surprise! Surprise!
Oh, Mrs. Martin. And Miss Lenoy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Miss Cooper. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you, but I...
Are we here too soon?
What do you mean?
Well, where is...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Liz. Happy birthday to you.
Well, that's very pretty. But what we'd like to know is, where is our...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Liz. Happy birthday to you.
They sure sing a lot, don't they? Lousy, too.
Well, it's something to sing about. It's Liz's birthday.
Yes, Liz's birthday.
Ellen, somebody made a boo-boo. If we want to get in on this party, we'll have to play ball.
With all right, dear.
Will someone please tell me what's going on here?
Oh, nothing, dear, nothing. We just came to your party.
Well, that was very nice of you. Oh, and you brought presents for me?
Well, all right, here. Here, happy birthday.
Thank you.
That one's for me.
Oh, thank you. Look, George, just what I need. An embroidered nightcap.
Yes, it's lovely.
Let's see what the other one is.
Well, a hot water bottle.
It is wonderful for your lumbago.
Lumbago? What makes you think I have lumbago?
Doesn't everybody?
No.
Keep it, dear. You will.
Well, thanks, anyway.
Oh, by the way, George, we went round back and gave Katie the cake.
Oh, no.
Well, we would have brought it in, but we couldn't get near it. The heat, you know. Yes, and I singed my eyebrows.
Well, it's just as well.
Did you get a cake for me, George?
Turn out the lights. I'm coming in with the cake. Oh. Okay, bring her in. Here I come.
Oh, God, look at the candle.
Katie, what happened? You look like you're on fire.
I ain't seen a blaze like that since the Chicago fire. Go ahead, Liz, blow it out.
Oh, I'll try.
Almost. It's only about 20 more. Six more.
Well, wait till it comes around again. I'm dizzy. There. 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 65 candles? What's going on, George?
Well, you see...
These friends of your mother's, embroidered nightcaps, a hot water bottle, 65 candles?
Well, I might as well...
Well, it worked, Mr. Cooper.
Huh?
What worked?
I told Mr. Cooper that you felt that you were getting old, and he figured if he gave you a real old lady's party, it'd make you see how young you really are.
Yes!
Understand me, don't you? That's the sweetest thing a husband ever did.
I don't get it. Don't ask any questions. You might louse things up. Besides, that cake looks mighty tasty.
What's the matter, Liz?
Oh, I'm just happy, George. I'm married to the most thoughtful man in the world.
No, it's not.
It is, too. I'm going to put this jacket on, and I'm never going to take it off.
Oh, Liz.
I mean it. It will remind me how wonderful and thoughtful and sweet you are. I'm even going to wear it to bed tonight.
Oh, it's silly.
Well, I am. Oh, what's this? Oh, a card, and I didn't even see it.
Uh-oh. Did you change the card, too, Mr. Atterbury? What card?
Oh, George, I can't keep anything from you, can I?
Huh?
You even knew I'd be silly enough to wear the jacket to bed. Look, Mr. Atterbury, the card says, hope this keeps you warm in bed tonight.
Thank you. Obleman speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
My Favorite Husband, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS and Armed Forces Radio Service broadcast, heard on November 25th, 1950. The program was pretty much the sole triumph of writer Isabel Scott Rorick. She created the show in 1948, and her only previous radio experience or exposure was in July of 1944 when the author's Playhouse aired her comedy called Mad Dream. And you're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Time now for Robert Young as Jim Anderson in Father Knows Best, this NBC broadcast from November 2nd, 1950.
Sir, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
It's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as father. In every week, there are 7 days. In every day, there are 24 hours. In every hour, there are 60 minutes, or 3,600 seconds. That's a lot of time, isn't it? Time enough to do almost anything. Unless, of course, you happen to be a father. If you're a father, like Jim Anderson, there's never enough time. Never enough minutes, or hours, or days. That's why, as a conscientious father, you're forced to take steps like this.
And so, gentlemen of the Springfield Service Club, let's take a look at the record. Let's put a microscope on the past year and see exactly how much cooperation I've received.
Jim?
Honey, if you're going to keep interrupting me,
I'm sorry, dear, but microscope sounds so funny. Don't you mean magnifying glass?
Well, you're being very technical, Margaret. It's just a figure of speech, so what difference does it make which one I use?
Not a great deal, I suppose, except that when you say microscope, you think of germs.
And that's exactly what they are, a bunch of germs. Elect a man president and then don't lift a finger to help him.
I know, dear, but as long as you're going to resign...
Supposed to be such a great honor. I'd better wear this tie, huh?
Yes, dear, and I've laid your shirt out in the bed.
President of the service club. Just another way of saying I'm too tired. Let Jim do it.
Jim, if you want me to hear the rest of your speech...
They can get another president. He can do all the work. I'm going to stay home with my family. Where was I?
You were looking at the record.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's take a look at the record. Let's put a magnifying glass on the past year and see exactly...
Jim.
Yes, Margaret.
You were right. Microscope sounds better.
Thank you. Let's take a look at the record. Let's put a microscope on the past year and see exactly...
It's a very peculiar picture. I mean, putting a whole year into a tiny little microscope. But it does sound better when you say it.
Margaret.
Yes, dear?
This is a large microscope, the year size.
Well, let's not worry about it. It isn't very important.
Yes.
I won't interrupt you again.
Margaret, if there's anything else you'd rather do...
Jim, I'm trying my best to listen.
Oh, that's what you were doing.
Of course, if you don't want me to hear the speech...
I do want you to hear the speech, but we've been at it for 15 minutes and I haven't been able to get past the introduction. I'm so confused, I don't know if I'm getting dressed or undressed.
Mother!
I'm in the bedroom, Betty.
I think the string beans are burnt.
Oh, dear, I forgot all about them. I'll be right down.
Okay.
Between the string beans and Kathy's bath and Betty's fingernails...
Jim, just because you're going out to dinner, that doesn't mean that we don't have to eat.
I didn't say that.
I have 3 growing children to take care of, and they're going to be fed in spite of you and the service club.
I suppose I burned the string beans.
Well, they certainly didn't burn by themselves.
Now, there's logic for you. I'm going out to dinner, so I'm responsible for everything that happens in the house. Blue sock, blue sock, blue sock. Why is it I can never... Bud!
You want me?
What happened to my... Oh.
What's that, Dad?
Never mind, I found it.
What?
I said, never mind, I found it.
You found what?
My other blue sock.
I haven't got it.
I know you haven't. I just found it.
You did?
Yes.
That's nice.
I thought you'd be happy. I'll give you 10-1 right now. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. And so, gentlemen of the Springfield Service Club, let us take a look at the record. Let's put a microscope on the past year. Let's put a magnifying glass on the past year. Let's take a close look at the past year. Look at the record. Look at the year. Well...
Daddy!
Oh, no, not this.
Daddy, are you still here?
Me? Of course not. Didn't your mother tell you? I left 5 minutes ago.
What?
If you look out the window, you can see me just turning the corner.
You're kidding me.
Somebody told you.
Daddy!
Kathy, I haven't time to talk. I've got to leave in very few minutes.
Isn't that wonderful?
What?
Oh, I mean, going out for dinner and everything. That's what I meant, Daddy.
It is, huh?
Oh, yes.
I wonder. Kathy.
Yes, Daddy?
I've got to change my shirt and my trousers, so if you don't mind...
What?
Kathy, get out and close the door, please.
But I don't mind, Daddy.
Well, I do. Now, please get out and close the door.
Gee whiz. Nobody ever lets me stay any place. All I do is get out.
Just like living in an alley, that's what it is. Give a man the privacy of a goldfish. Let's take a close look at the past year and see exactly how much cooperation I have received. As president of the local service club, I've neglected my family, my business, even my golf for the sake of this organization. Examine your own consciences and ask yourselves, what did I do to help? Now, what happened to the darn thing? You can never find anything around here. Margaret!
She isn't here, Father.
She was here 2 seconds ago.
She's trying to borrow some string beans from Miss Davis.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
String beans. I can't find my cufflinks, and she's gallivanting all over the neighborhood chasing string beans. Examine your own consciences and ask yourselves in the past year, what did I do to help? 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 Bud, he's taking those cufflinks again, so help me. Bud, come in here.
Okay, Dad, I'll be right in.
If I've told him once, I've told him 1,000 times. I couldn't have made it any plainer.
You want me for something, Dad?
How many times have I told you to leave my cufflinks alone?
Which cufflinks?
My gold cufflinks, the ones the service club gave me.
Oh, those.
Well?
I don't know.
You don't know what?
How many times you told me?
Then why did you?
What did I want?
Take them.
Oh. I didn't.
But if you didn't take them, where are they?
Maybe Kathy took them.
I did not.
Well, if it isn't Millicent Mayflower, girl detective. Come in, Millie.
Did you call me Daddy?
Kathy, aside from the fact that it isn't polite to drop eaves on people, what did you do with my cufflinks?
I didn't drop anything on anybody.
What did you do with my cufflinks?
What cufflinks, Daddy?
His gold cufflinks that the service club gave him.
I didn't ask you.
Kathy, where are my cufflinks?
The gold cufflinks that the service club gave you?
Yes.
I don't know.
Kathy.
Gosh, Daddy, if I knew where they were, I'd be the first one to tell you. I can't afford to have you... I mean, you're almost late now.
I am not almost late. Dinner isn't until 7:30.
But you always leave here before 7. You have to leave before 7.
Why?
So you won't be late.
Kathy, why are you so anxious to get me out of the house?
I didn't say I was anxious.
Father!
Just a minute, Betty. Kathy, what fiendish little scheme is percolating in the back of your equally fiendish little mind?
Why, Daddy!
You're up to something. You're up to no good, and I want to know what it is. Now what's the matter?
You're going to spank me.
I'm not going to spank you. I don't even know what you did.
Dad, is it all right if I go back to my room?
No, you stay right where you are.
But I have homework to do.
You can do it later. Right now, we've got to find my cufflinks.
Holy cow.
Father, now don't forget what you... What's the matter with her?
Daddy's going to spank me.
What for?
I don't know.
Betty, did you see Dad's cufflinks?
Nope. Father, don't forget you promised to drop the bridge tables and chairs off at the sorority house tonight.
I said no such thing. It was tomorrow night.
Father, they need them in the morning, and you promised.
I don't want you to spank me.
What if you don't ever find your cufflinks? Then what happens to my homework?
You said you'd take them, and they're counting on it. And if you don't, they won't ever speak to me again.
I'm going to be a hermit. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to grow a long white beard and live on top of a mountain in Tibet.
Mother, he said he'd take the tables and chairs over, and now he says he won't.
Margaret, so help me. I didn't...
Kathleen.
Daddy said he was going to spank me.
I said no such thing. Did I, Bud?
I was sitting in my own room, minding my own business.
He said last night he'd take the chairs over.
Betty.
And now he changes his mind, and I'm supposed to...
Kathy. Well, that's better. Jim, I've never seen it to fail if I set one foot out of the house, absolute bedlam sets in.
That's not true. But if you're going to walk out in the middle of an emergency...
What emergency?
What emergency? The place is crawling with them. Why don't you take them one at a time?
All right, I will. Bud?
All I want to do is my homework.
Go down to the kitchen and watch the string beans.
Yes, ma'am.
Betty?
Father promised me.
You'd better set the table in the breakfast room.
But Father said...
We'll take care of the chairs later.
Jumping creepers.
Now, my two little ones.
Margaret, you realize that this whole thing is absolutely ridiculous.
Kathy?
Yes, Mommy?
Why were you crying?
I didn't want Daddy to be here at 7 o'clock.
Why?
Because that's when she's coming here to speak to him.
Who is?
My teacher.
Oh, that's what it was. Now, you see, Margaret, I had a feeling from the very beginning.
Jim.
Hmm?
What was your little problem?
My gold cufflinks are gone. They've disappeared. Vanished, that's all.
What are those in your cuffs?
What? Oh. How'd they get there?
Jim, I told you I'd laid your shirt out. I put the cufflinks in the shirt to save you a little time.
Well, Margaret, let's face it. That's a pretty silly place to hide cufflinks.
O'clock in Springfield. Of course, it's 7 o'clock in other places as well, but in other places, the hour doesn't contain the same drama, the same suspense that it does in the Anderson Den. There, 7 o'clock is a magic hour, fraught with excitement and just a small touch of mystery, like this.
Kathy?
Yes, Daddy?
What did you do in school?
I didn't do anything.
Jim, why do you immediately assume that Kathy has done something wrong?
Well, why else would her teacher want to see me?
Maybe she doesn't want to see you, specifically.
Yes, she does, Mommy. She said she had to see Daddy and she'd be here at 7 o'clock.
And naturally, she'd have to pick tonight.
Kathy, why didn't you tell us about this earlier?
Well, don't you have anything to say?
I'm trying to think of something.
Hey, Mom.
Bud, we're very busy in here. We've got problems.
So have I. If I don't finish my homework, how can I go to the movies with Joe Phillips?
You can't.
Well, then why can't I...
Bud, please go back to the kitchen and watch the string beans. We don't want them to burn again, do we?
Go ahead, Bud.
Holy cow. 15 years old and what am I? A string bean watcher.
Look, Kathy, I want you to think hard. Have you done anything wrong in school? Have you kicked any footballs through anybody's window?
You mean today?
I mean any day.
Jim, Mrs. Lindsay will be here any moment.
Margaret, I want to find out before she gets here. If Kathy's done anything and I can get it straightened out in advance, then I won't have to hang around and gab with Mrs. Lindsay. Kathy, please try to think. What could your teacher possibly want to see me about?
Well, maybe Mrs. Woody called her. But I didn't mean to do anything.
You and Jimmy had another fight, huh?
He said I was a tomboy, and I'm not a tomboy. And I just showed him I wasn't, that's all.
How?
I punched him in the nose.
Kathleen, after all the promises you made...
Well, he didn't have any right to say I was a tomboy, did he, Daddy?
I don't know, Kathy. Is that all that happened?
Except for his shirt.
What happened to his shirt?
I was only trying to lift him back in his feet. And I couldn't help it if it just ripped.
Margaret, what's the Woody's number?
Jim, don't you think if I call Dorothy...
I'll get it straightened out in 2 seconds. What's the number?
It's in the little book, dear, next to the phone.
By the time Mrs. Lindsay gets here, there won't be anything to talk about, and that'll be all right with me.
Kathy, why can't you ever learn to behave like a lady?
I was trying to be a lady, Mommy. I tried to help him up.
Oh, there it is. Get the little monster a new shirt and everything will be right as rain. Hello, Dorothy. This is Jim Anderson. Just fine, thanks. Say, Dorothy, we're awfully sorry about... No, I hadn't heard about the school paper drive. I was just... No... Look, Dorothy, I was just... Yeah. Yes, I know how successful it was, but I don't have the time this year to... Dorothy, I just called to explain about Jimmy's shirt. You see, Kathy... What? Didn't Jimmy say anything about it? Well, I'm afraid it was Kathy's fault, and... Dorothy, if you'll just buy him another shirt and send me the bill, then I know it takes an experienced man, but I give you my word, Dorothy. Okay. As long as you put it that way. Yes, I'll call a meeting for next Monday night. You're welcome, Dorothy. Good night. Paper drive. 8,000 men in the neighborhood, and she has to pick on me.
Is everything all right, Jim?
Dorothy didn't know anything about Jimmy's shirt. But shake hands with the chairman of the school paper drive.
Jim, it won't do any good to give up your office in the service club if you're going to turn around...
It wasn't my idea, Margaret. She said I owed it to her on account of Jimmy's shirt. Well, what could I do?
Well, it'll only be for a month, and then you'll have all your evenings to spend with us.
Father, Bud and I put the bridge tables and chairs in the back of the car.
What for?
You said you'd deliver them.
I said I'd deliver them tomorrow, not tonight.
Mother.
Jim. Margaret, it's clear over on the other side of town. It'll take me all night.
I know, dear, but after all, Betty promised.
Please, Father.
All right. I'll take them over after I leave the dinner.
Oh, thank you, Father. You're a lamb.
I'm getting just a little tired of being led to the slaughter.
Daddy.
Yes, Kathy.
Maybe it was Stevie Long.
What about Stevie Long?
I didn't know it was his good sweater.
Margaret.
Kathy, did you tear Stevie's sweater?
Oh, no, Mommy. I was trying to fix it.
I can just see that.
Well, I didn't know that was the thread that held the sleeve on. And all I did was pull it a little bit.
Then Stevie just stood there and let you, I suppose.
He wasn't even there. I was holding the sweater while he went inside to get the baseball.
What baseball?
The one I hit through the living room window.
Kathy.
You said you hadn't broken any windows.
You said today. This was yesterday.
Oh, Kathleen.
And anyway, you said with a football, and this was a baseball.
Kathy, when are you going to realize that you're not a boy?
I don't know.
Is is there any other child in Springfield who gets into half as much mischief as you do?
I don't know.
Margaret.
The Long's number is next to the phone, dear.
I know the Long's number. This is the fifth time we've had to pay for that same window. I ought to know their number by now.
This isn't the same window, Daddy. It's the big one in the front.
Well, that makes it much better. I don't know why I ever went into the insurance business. I should have opened a glass factory. Well, hello, Harry. Now, this is Jim Anderson. Well, I haven't had a chance to play much golf lately. I've been sort of tied up with... No, Harry, Harry, I just want to explain about the living room window. You see, Kathy was playing baseball. Yes, I know it's insured, but if I can just tell Mrs. Lindsay that we've got the whole thing... No, it isn't all right, Harry. I just as soon... Harry, I haven't got time to be on the Greens Committee. I'm going to resign as president of the... Look, Harry, I know that it... But I don't have one evening a week. I've got a family, Harry, and I don't see them from... Look, can I just send you a check for the window? Okay, Harry. 8 o'clock at your house on Wednesday. Yes, Harry. Okay, good night. I don't know. Every time I pick up the phone, I'm a member of something else.
Did you straighten everything out with Harry, dear?
Oh, sure. It was a plate glass window, and he's already collected the insurance. And now I'm a member of the Greens Committee at the golf club.
Jim, if this keeps up...
Every Wednesday night, what to do with the grass, where to put the cups, and who ran away with the trap in front of the 15th green. I'll probably wind up in back of a lawnmower.
Daddy.
I don't want to hear another word out of you.
But I just thought of something.
Jim, she's only trying to help you.
Oh, sure. She's helping me just fine. I'm a paper collector and a grass cutter, and I still don't know what Mrs. Lindsay wants.
I do.
Mom, the string beans are boiling over.
Oh, dear. I'll be right there, Bud. Now, Kathy, tell your father what you did and then wash your hands. Dinner's almost ready.
Yes, Mommy.
Well?
What?
What did you do?
Oh, I think I know what I did, but it wasn't my fault, Daddy.
Nothing is ever your fault. I've never seen a child who could do more things that weren't her fault.
Well, how did I know her father wasn't through with them?
Wasn't through with what?
The neckties.
What neckties?
The ones I told Laurie Hathaway to use.
For what?
To tie up the goat.
What goat?
The one I found in the lot.
You brought a goat over to the Hathaways?
Well, you wouldn't let me keep it here, would you? And I didn't know it was going to eat all Mr. Hathaway's flowers.
Oh, Kathy. What am I going to do with you?
Spank me?
Now I've got to call the Hathaways. And I don't care what committee he wants me to be on, I'm going to pay for the flowers and the ties, and that's all.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
Can you, think of anything else?
You mean lately?
Margaret!
Oh, it's Mrs. Lindsay.
Did you call me, Jim?
Never mind, never mind.
Hello, Mrs. Lindsay.
Kathleen, you sweet child.
Come in, Mrs. Lindsay. I've been waiting for you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. This is a very great pleasure.
Yes. Shall we, go into the living room?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Lindsay.
About what, dear?
About whatever I did.
Mrs. Lindsay, I've been calling people all night.
Why, Kathleen, you haven't done anything, have you?
Haven't I?
Not that I know of.
Gosh!
Oh, wait a minute. If she hasn't done anything, what did you want to see me about?
Mr. Anderson, I have the most wonderful news for you. You've been elected president of the PTA. Congratulations.
Oh, no.
night is dark, the clock strikes two, and the white frame house on Maple Street stands hushed beneath the starless sky. In the Andersons' quiet bedroom, a figure moves, and Margaret stirs softly on her downy couch, like this.
Jim?
Oh, did I wake you, honey?
I was just dozing. Jim?
Yes, dear?
Don't be too upset about tonight.
You mean about Kathy?
I mean about giving up the presidency of the service club. I know it meant a great deal to you.
Yes.
Did they like your speech?
Oh, yes, they loved it.
That's nice.
They thought it was just great. And you know what?
What, dear?
I was reelected.
Good night, Jim.
Good night, dear.
Listen next for Dragnet on NBC.
Father Knows Best, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode first heard on November 2nd, 1950. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.